Lord this morning for everyone that's here. We need to pray for those that are missing, and the Lord will bless them and help them. We want to talk this morning about what we need to know about our soul. We want to start in Genesis 7:7. And in Genesis 2:7, I'm sorry, it says, "And the Lord formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." It took the breath of God to cause man to become a living soul. And that living soul will live for eternity. In other words, when God breathed life into man, he will live for eternity. The soul will live. The outer clay, it will die. But the soul lives on and on. So we need to understand that the soul that we have in us is an eternal soul. It's going to last for eternity. And so many times people have an idea that, well, when they die, they die. There's nothing else after death. They believe that no matter that there is just blankness, there's nothing out there, and so we don't have to worry about it. We can do whatever we want to here because in the end, it all ends the same way and we're not conscious or alive anymore. Mm-hmm. But that's a lie.
Yeah.
We became living souls. And nothing can kill this living soul. It is here forever, for eternity. Because God breathed into him. God breathed life. Now, he caused the animals to breathe, but he didn't breathe life into them. See, they're not living souls. He causes trees to be alive and fish to be alive and the oceans and the stars and the energy in the suns and all these things. He caused all of those things. But he only breathed life, eternal life, into the human soul. We became a living soul because of God. That's the first thing we need to know. That our soul is eternal. And that it's never going to die. And so, consequently, we need to understand that the consciousness that we have, which is our soul, the consciousness, the ability to reason, think, those kind of, it's all put together in our soul. And that part of us is not going to die. It's going to be present forever. The second thing we need to know is in Psalms 119:109. This is the second important thing we need to know about our soul. It says, "My soul is continually in my hand. Yet do I not forget thy law." My soul is continually in my hand.
Yes. Yes.
Now we need to understand, this is the second most important thing. First is that our soul is eternal and will live forever somewhere. The second thing is, it's in my hand.
Yes.
My soul is in my hand. I get to decide things. God breathed life into me, but I get to decide.
Yes.
I get to do what I want to do. Adam and Eve did what they wanted to do in the garden. They were tempted and they fell and they disobeyed and all. They did what they wanted to do.
That's so.
Nobody physically made them do it. There's very few times in our earthly existence that anybody makes us do something. There are times when we were children that our parents made us do something because they had authority over us. There are times in kingdoms where the ruler makes people do some things, but in reality, the truth of the matter is that the ruler can say that they have to do these things, and if they don't, what does he do? He usually kills them, imprisons them, or whatever. But to actually make them do it, he can't do that. With even parents with children. You can't physically make your children hardly do what you tell them to do. You can drag them up to something, pick up this toy, you can open their hand, you can put their hand around it, you can close their hand, and you can take them back and put it in the toy box. You know what I mean? And some of us have done those things, you know, because they were being stubborn. But the truth of the matter, you didn't make him do it. You did it. You did it. You did not make him do it. Nobody can make us do anything. We choose in our life what we are going to do, how we're going to live, rules we're going to abide by, what lines we're going to cross. We decide. We make all those decisions for ourselves. We don't understand that we're being influenced. We don't understand that. The enemy is constantly influencing us towards the wrong, and the Lord is trying to influence us towards the right. So sometimes we make good decisions for our soul. Sometimes we make bad decisions for our soul. But we're still the one making the decision. We still decide. It's continually in your hand. Your soul is in your hand. This soul that lives forever, it's kind of a little bit of a scary thought, isn't it? That this soul that lives forever, you get to decide. That's a hard thing. You know, there are people that won't serve on juries because they don't want to say this person has to be in prison for this length of time. And used to be they didn't want to say that this person has to, you know, face death. They didn't want, they had something about it in them said, I can't do that. I can't make that judgment. But I do it with my soul every day. I make those eternal judgments about my soul and what's going to happen to it every day. And I think nothing about it. But see, people don't understand with their soul. They don't understand about their soul. They don't understand the things they need to know about their soul. All right, Romans 2, verse 9 through 11. Tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil. That's something else we need to know about our soul. That we are going to suffer if we do evil. Our soul will suffer. Tribulation and anguish. Is the world not full of tribulation and anguish? Is it not full of those that take advantage of others? Is it not full of those that are, you know, that they figure, I'm just going to do this one little thing, and then they get caught up in something and they end up in prison or they end up even dead. This is something we need to know about our soul, that if we go after evil things, if we go after sinful things, if we do bad things, have bad, even bad thoughts, and because bad thoughts translate into some kind of action. It always translates into some kind of action. If we had bad thoughts about things, people that, you know, have problems and they have their prejudice in anything, not just race, but just prejudice against about a lot of things in life. They can be prejudiced against. And it will translate into action.
Yeah.
What we think is what we do. It's very, very unusual for us to be thinking something good and something bad come out of us. It's almost impossible. But there's many times we can be wishing well on people and we can be saying, oh, you know, we're so, you know, glad to see you and we want to wish you well and all these things. And the next minute out can pour the vilest things.
Yeah.
Why? Yeah. Because we're living with evil. We're living on the side of evil. We're letting the enemy direct us more than we let God direct us. Upon every soul of man that doeth evil, tribulation and anguish. Bad things. Oh, there's so much anguish in life.
Yeah.
So many things. What are we anguish? It means when we're burdened down and languishing under things that we cannot change.
Yes.
But see, there are some things we can change. People are all down underneath because they're doing evil things and they're out there in the world enjoying evil things and not all the time. See, people think, Well, I'm not evil all the time. No, of course not. They're not evil all the time. But even when they're not doing something evil, they may be thinking an evil thought. They may be wishing ill on their, on somebody in their life. We need to understand that this is the natural outpouring of a soul that is wrapped up doing evil.
Yes.
It's the natural outpouring. It's tribulation and anguish. Then it says in verse 10, but glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good. Glory, honor, and peace when we work good. Haven't we found that to be true? Have you ever found that when you're doing something evil to somebody else, evil things come upon you? Have you ever found out that when you're doing something good to somebody else, good things come upon you? It's because there's a law. The law of reaping and sowing.
Yes.
It is an eternal law. And that law says that you're going to be get back what you give out.
Yes.
Whatever seed you scatter, that's what's going to grow in your life.
Yes.
That's what's going to happen to you. What you do to others is coming back on your own head.
Yes.
It's a law.
Yes.
God set it in motion. Why did he set that law in motion? Because it's just. See, it's just. It's a righteous law. That why shouldn't the one that is doing evil have evil upon them? And why shouldn't the one doing good have good spread to them? It's a faithful, righteous law. And it's a good law. And it's a just law. And we can't ever say to God, he's unfair. He's unfair. Because he said, if you do this, you receive this. If you do that, you receive that. It's very open, very honest, very straightforward. There are many times we're in situations where people are not straightforward.
That's true.
And they try to deceive us, and they try to go around us, and they try to tell us one thing and yet get another. And even in the business world, and when they're trying to sell you something, and they're telling you all of this, but they're not telling you this part. But God is just.
Amen.
He's just. He told us, you get to choose. If you live your days in evil, you're going to have tribulation and anguish. That's what your soul is going to experience all the time.
Yes.
The inner working being of you, your soul, soul and spirit, all working together. The inner being, not the outward clay, but the inner being. If you do evil, tribulation and anguish. If you work good, glory, honor, and peace. Notice that he didn't say that you won't have any anguish or tribulation, but he said you'd have peace through it.
Yeah.
See, there's a difference. Everybody has problems. Everybody experiences things. But out there, they don't have any help with it. Out there, they're in anguish and torment and this and that, and their minds are running wild, and they're going here and there and everywhere and experiencing all these things. And they have no peace or rest. They can't get away from it. You remember. You remember. We've all experienced it. When something was so troubling to our mind that it bothered us day and night and night and day, we would even dream about it. We would think that we were away from it for a minute, that it would come back into our mind, and we would feel the anguish of it all over again coming over us. It says in 11, for there is no respect of persons with God. He said, if you do this, this is what happens. If you do that, that is what happens. There's no respect of persons with God. He laid down simple things to understand and to be obedient to. That's what he did. So that we can understand. It says that he has laws, but they're not grievous. They're not grievous to our soul. They are, when we follow the things that God tells us to do and we're obedient, what do we find out? we find out, number one, that it works. You know, when the scripture says a soft answer turns away wrath, we don't hardly believe that, do we? In the beginning, we don't hardly believe that. Because what have we done? In our life, we thought we had to raise our voice. We had to get stern. We had to have a look about us. And that's what moved the situation. And that's what worked it. And that's how we handled it. But God isn't like that. He says, no, there's a different law that works in my kingdom. And this law says that a soft answer turns away wrath. You know how people are when something is happening and people are talking and this person all of a sudden comes out with this and you've been with them and you go, shh, shh, don't make it worse. Right? We all kind of know that if you say certain things, it's going to make it worse. But we want to pretend, like we can say whatever we want to, and God is just going to stand by us and be with us and everything. No, he said a soft answer. And it's a law. The soft answer turns away wrath. Oh, listen. That doesn't mean that you won't hear something. That doesn't mean that I'm going to give this soft answer and immediately that person that's railing on me is going to give that up and he's going to just walk away and say, oh, well, I don't know what to do with that. That can't happen. But they may finish their thought and they may rail a little bit longer, but it's not affecting you anymore because you're not involved. You're not involved in the back and forth of it. Your soft answer is all you have. And what happens? In the end, they have nowhere to go. You can either escalate a situation or you can cause it to calm down. You can do one or the other. It's natural in our sinful life and in our way we grew up to escalate because we feel like we have to escalate because we have to go on top of where they're at. Do you know there are some people in life that works for most people because most people will say, okay, I'm not going any further than that. There are some people in life that they'll keep going. This is what's happening out in the world today. I'll go all the way to a gun. See, I'll go that far. You may not be willing to do it, but I'll go that far. A soft answer. There's no respect of persons with God. Even an evildoer, if he does the right thing in any situation, he will reap good from it. Even an evil doer. If he will do the right thing in any given situation, he will reap some good from it. He may not understand that he gets good from it, and nobody else may be able to look at his life and see that he gets things from it, but you don't know what all the Lord has given him that's good. You don't know all what he caused not to happen. We don't know everything in everybody's life. So that's the thing that we need to know about the soul. If I'm doing evil, I'm going to reap something bad. If my soul does good, my inner being, that's what I'm talking about, the soul, my inner being. If I do good, I'm going to reap good. We need to know that. Because there are many people out there that don't know that. They think that they can do anything and everything and they're going to get away with it and somehow get by and not get caught and somehow go free. But it's not true. It may happen for a few times, but eventually it'll catch up with you. Isn't that what the world says? Eventually it's going to get you. All right, Matthew 16:26. Something else we need to know about our soul. Matthew 16:26-27. For what is it a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. So what is a man profited? What is the good of it? If I gain the whole world, if I'm a millionaire, a billionaire, I'm famous, I have adoration from all manner of people, What difference does it make in this short lifespan we live, which is under 100 years old? Most of us don't hit 100. Only a few go over. What difference will it make in the end if I lose my soul? In other words, what does it mean, lose your soul? It means that your soul lives forever in the tormented place with all that Satan and all of his angels. That's what it means. What will it matter if I gain at all? If I lose my soul? And what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? We could ask that of everybody.
Yeah.
What are you giving today in exchange for your soul? What are people out there in the world hanging on to in exchange for their soul? In other words, my soul, if it continues down this downward road, I'm going to suffer, and in the end, I'm going to be cast out into outer darkness. Or I can turn around, and I can go forward with the Lord, and I can reap eternal life with God. Either way, my soul is living forever. See, that's the first thing we learned about the soul, is it lives forever. Then we learned it's in our hands. So we're responsible for it, and we get to decide for it. What will happen if you gain the whole world and lose your soul? What will you give in exchange for your soul? You know, there are many, many people who give anything to continue to live. Why? Because we all have in us. We want to live. It's hard for us to get the concept that we are going to live forever. It's hard for us to get that because the body dies. But that soul goes on. It lives forever. But it says, what if every man, he's going to receive a reward, every man according to his works. The things that he did while he was here, that's his reward. He gets to decide. God doesn't force him to do anything. But he does tell him what to expect. And he tells him what's there. He tells him what he has to do, tells him how to live, tells him what to expect at the end. If you do it this way, this is what to expect. If you do it that way, this is what to expect. He's very open, very honest, very straightforward. Very, very, in the garden, he was very direct. You can do all of this, but this. This one thing you can't do. That's the way God is with us today. He's very direct. He'll let us know what we can and can't do. What is allowed and not allowed. He'll be very open and honest with us if we're open and honest. So the thing we need to know about our soul, it's going to be rewarded for its works. It's going to have a bad reward or a good reward. It's going to be rewarded. And the other thing you need to know, that your soul being in your hands, if you lose your soul, it isn't going to matter what happened here. It isn't going to matter. Because when our soul lives on forever, we live here under 100 years, and there is eternity. Our eternity started the day we were born. Our eternity started. And out into eternity, our soul will live on and on and on and on. It will never die. So what am I going to do with it? It's in my hands. I get to decide. The Lord's laid it out very plainly what has to be done, what you should do, what you shouldn't do. You can read and find out everything God wants you to do. All right, the next thing that we really, really need to know about our soul. There's some things we need for our soul. In Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Dividing asunder of soul and spirit. You know, it's hard for us in our human language to be able to divide the inner man, the soul and the spirit at all, and how they're connected and, you know, how they're intertwined. It all works together for our being, for the good of us, the way God created us for this. But he says his word is so powerful that it can divide the soul from in spirit. It can divide it. It can help us to know the things that we need to do in a spiritual sense and the things we need to do for the good of our soul. And sometimes they're connected very strongly, and sometimes they're a little bit disconnected. There's no way for us to divide it. We can't hardly see it. But the Spirit knows, and God knows, how to do this. But he said his word does it. And heavens, isn't that what you have found out? That as you immerse yourself in the word. Because see, this is what we have to do. We can't just wade in the word. We can't just, you know, play in a little puddle of the word. Because we won't get much out of it. A few droplets here and there. If we wade in it, we might understand a few things. We have to immerse ourselves in the word. Why? Because it divides. It divides something. It divides. It rightly divides how we should live and what we should do. And it goes into your personal life, your personal soul, your personal spirit. And it tells you what's working in you and how it's working in you. It may not work in somebody else exactly how it works in you. What it does, it goes in and rightly divides everything that is in the inner man. Our soul needs the word of God. And yet, our soul needs it. But what is the thing that the enemy most fights against? Reading the word. Reading the word. Can't hardly keep your mind off of other things. Keeps trying, you're distracting your mind. You know, sit there and read the same passage over and over, and you finally say, "What is wrong? I can't even hear. I can't even understand what I'm reading. My mind is so. Why does he fight so hard? Why? Because it's what keeps the soul refreshed and renewed and blessed and moving forward and encouraged is immersing ourselves in the word. But it says piercing. The word can pierce us. It can work to where it pierces us, shows us the wrong in us. And we have to just acknowledge, yes, that's me. That's who I am. I'm guilty. That's me. Pierces us. Don't like what we see. Don't like what the Lord just revealed to us in the word. But it's pure. Why do we need that? Because we're going to have to meet God someday. And we need to understand what we're supposed to be like and how we're supposed to have changed and ruled our own spirit in these things. God gave us rule. Our souls in our hand. We have rule over what's happening to us. But we need the word. Because the word is what's going to help us. It says, and of the joints of the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It discerns things that we don't understand about ourselves. It knows things we don't know. The word. God's word knows things we do not know. It is a teacher. We heard in Sunday school it is a living word. It goes down through the ages of time. It is relevant in every age. It's a discerner of thoughts and intents. Oh, you know, sometimes we don't even realize that some of our thoughts are evil thoughts. We were just taught to think this way. We were taught that this is all right. And, you know, as long as you don't say anything, In other words, what if you can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all. But you've never heard anybody say, if you can't think anything nice, don't think anything at all. But that's what the word says. If you can't think anything nice, don't think anything at all. Keep your mind on what? What is pure and honest and good and of merit and worthy and all these things. See, the Bible teaches us things our soul's going to need to be perfected, to be ready for that day. It's important. So, 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Something else our soul needs. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know God is concerned about our spirit? He's concerned about our soul. Yes, and about our body. He made provisions in the Word. He made provision in all that He has taught throughout all time for all those things. He's interested in us. The whole man. He made the whole man. He didn't just make just the soul. No, He made the outer body too. He made the spirit. He made the soul. Connected them in some kind of way that we don't know hardly how to disconnect. But we know this. That we're going to need to be sanctified. Holy. That means allowing the Spirit of God to come in to our soul and reign. Be the king. Yes. Be the one that we obey. Be the one that we don't go against. We're going to have to let Him sit in the heart, in our soul, in the seat of our affections. We're going to have to let Him come in. When He comes in, there is power that is exhibited that we did not have before. When the Spirit comes into our life. Oh yes, we can be saved. And we get a portion of the Spirit. We have a mindset to obey the Spirit and all. But when we seek the Lord for the Spirit to come in us and dwell, the Holy Spirit. Jesus, when He left the earth, He said, go to Jerusalem and tarry there. Wait for the power that I'm going to give you. And it was the Holy Spirit they were waiting for. They didn't know what it was called then. They didn't understand it completely. Jesus hadn't revealed it all, but they waited. And when they got it, they knew exactly what it was. Because they had never had something like that before. So our souls need to have the Holy Spirit indwelling. How could we ever be happy in a holy, righteous place in heaven if our soul was not filled with the Spirit of God? How could that even happen? How are we even happy here in the services and with God's people if we don't have the Spirit of God in us for the Lord to move upon? How do we even enjoy the services? Why do people not come very often? Or why just once in a while? Or why do they say it was boring? Because they have no Spirit. Yeah. It takes the Spirit to enjoy the spiritual things of God. It takes the Spirit to have the power to overcome the evil thoughts and intents in our hearts, in our minds, that we don't understand as being evil yet. It takes the Spirit of God to discern those things, divide them up, and show you where to cut it real thin. And this part you can keep, but this little part that's on here, it has to be shaved off. You can't have that anymore. You need the Holy Spirit in your soul. You need Him reigning and working in you. You need Him leading and guiding and directing, because the Word tells us that's what He's for. How are you going to know the way if you don't have the guide? How are you going to know the right thing to do if you don't have the one that knows what is right? How are you going to do that? Your own thoughts and your own mind is going to be mixed up with everything that God's trying to tell you, and you aren't going to know what you really need because you don't have the indwelling, the Spirit of God living in your soul. So the soul must have the Spirit of God living inside. Sanctified just means set apart for the Master's use. They sanctified the vessels in the temple. They were left in the temple. They weren't used for any other purpose but temple worship. Now, we're not used for any other purpose than to fulfill God's plan, whatever it is. All of our plans are a little different.
Yes.
Whatever God has planned for you, whatever he has waiting for you, wherever he wants to use you in this world to help others, our plans are a little different, all of us, but the Spirit of God is the one that will lead us and guide us in our life plan, in what he has for us. So the soul needs the Spirit.
Yeah.
All right, 1 Peter 2 and 11. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. We don't even know when we get saved, we don't even know what fleshly lusts hardly are. We have one vision in our mind of what a fleshly lust is. You know what I'm saying? Some of us may have more than one. Some of us may have two or three. But that's all we know. We don't even understand the small, intricate details of what a fleshly lust is. We heard about it in Sunday school a little bit this morning. That when you give in over here on what you shouldn't be eating, when you give in over there about this little thing or that little thing, that's the flesh warring against your soul, your internal soul, making you weak. And when you give in to those kind of things, it's easy not to read. It's easy not to pray because you just start giving into your flesh. When you give the flesh a little bit of room, wants more and more and more. And that's why Paul said, I keep my body under daily.
Yeah.
I have to go to the Lord every day. This was Paul. I have to go to the Lord every day and put things there and keep them there and keep my mind right and the way I'm thinking right, and to keep my encouragement going instead of discouragement, because Paul faced so many things. He could have been easily discouraged. But the Lord kept him encouraged.
Yes.
Why? Because he abstained from fleshly lusts.
Yes.
Daniel in his day, how the king wanted him to eat from his table. And he said, no. He says, we'll eat just, you know, porridge or whatever it was they were going to eat. We'll just eat that. Because he didn't want to defile himself with the king's table. I don't know what all was on the king's table. But Daniel understood that that's not good for me. It's not good for me. And not only that, but I need help here. So I need to deny myself some things and not just thoroughly enjoy all of the benefits of this kingdom and then say, but I don't believe in this kingdom. That's what people want to do. That's how they want to live their lives. They want to thoroughly enjoy everything out there in the kingdom of the world. But they don't want to suffer any of the repercussions of any of it. They want to escape all of that. Fleshly lusts war against the soul. They go against you. They bring upon you anguish and hurts. They ruin lives. Fleshly lusts ruin lives. They ruin marriages. They ruin business partnerships. They, you know, because of fleshly lusts, I want more. I want more. I'm not satisfied with what I have. Lord, help us.
Yes.
Proverbs 15:32. He that refuses instruction despises his own soul. But he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. Do you know that we get a lot of reproof? And we get a lot of instruction in life. It starts out when we're little children. And we decide, even as little children, we have our little soul in our hands. We don't understand the repercussions of it, but we have it. And we get to decide. And our parents say, don't do this and don't do that. But as little children, we do it anyway. We sneak it. We go behind the back. You know, we do all these things to have it our way. That's fleshly lusts right there. There are instructions that are given to us. You know, don't do this and We tell our children, you know, don't get involved with, you know, word fights. You know what I'm saying? If somebody says this, and I think I have to answer back, and this, that, and everything. What do we tell them? We say, it's just going to start a fight. Don't get involved. What do we say? So what if they said something bad to you? Sticks and stones will break your bones, but words will never hurt you. Then we teach our children that. Well, it's in the Bible. Words can't hurt us. Only well reaction to the words is what hurts us. Our reactions to it. We refuse instruction. We have been given so much instruction through our lives. And some of it we ran over the top of. And we have suffered some things our whole life because we ran over the top of some things. We have suffered some things. People don't understand the instruction they're given. Many, many times there are many things. Oh, so many things out there. So many instructions that are given. I was thinking about how there's been so many altercations with the police. So many things have happened. And it's sad because there's no doubt that sometimes the policemen are in the wrong. They're out there living in sin too. There's no doubt about it. But follow instructions. Follow instructions. People feel like, I don't have to. And why do they get to tell me what to do? Because they have the authority. Follow the instructions. In school, people think, you know, well, they say the teachers will tell them, be ready. We're going to have a quiz sometime this week. Be ready, be ready. The instructions given. Be ready. And it comes on them and they say, oh, well, I'm not ready. But you were given instruction. You're going to come up before God at that last day and you're going to say, Lord, Lord, but haven't I done good things in my life? And he's going to say, yes, but I never knew you. I never knew you. We didn't have anything personal. You did some good things from time to time, but we didn't have anything personal. We weren't personally connected. Didn't we use your name? And there's a lot of people that do. Oh, they thank God for this and they thank God for that and they live their lives in disarray. Doing all manner of open sin in the Bible. Open sin. But they name the name of Jesus. He's going to say, but I didn't know you. You may have thought you knew me, but you really didn't know me because you would have known that I couldn't approve of this kind of a life. If you really knew me. But you and I weren't connected. You were just doing your own thing. You had your soul in your hand, and you thought you could do anything you wanted and somehow come back on that last day, and that I was going to say to you, oh, it's all right, it doesn't matter. All the instruction I get, it doesn't really matter. Everything that I told you, it doesn't really matter. All the laws I laid down, it doesn't really matter. Does that sound like a God that you know? That's what people think out there, though. They think they can do all of that and find peace with God. That's what they think. But it can't. It's not possible.
That's right.
Your soul is in your hands. You get to decide. Is it going to receive instruction or not? Are you going to listen to what people say? You know, there are many times. Remember, Brother Ostis Wilson said one time that he had advised something like over 300 couples for marriage. He had advised them. And he said, none of them took his advice. That's complete zero. That's an F. Was it an F on his part? No. They had their souls in their hand. They can listen to instruction and they can take it and do something good for their soul, or they can say, I don't think so. I'm going to do it this way, and my soul will be okay. But I wonder if you followed all those 300 cases down where they are, what happened to them, where they are today. Probably not very many of them made it. See, counsel is an instruction.
Yeah.
He that heareth reproof getteth understanding. In other words, there is a lot of things God has provided for us. Teachers and parents and grandparents and people on our jobs and everything that have given us good instruction. But because of our prejudice, whatever it is, I don't want to hear anything anybody else has to say. Who are they to say that to me? Look at their life. You know what I'm saying? You know what we do. That's what we do with all this instruction. We justify not taking it because of who the person is that gave it. But Jesus, God said that unless we become as little children, we won't see the kingdom of God. We can't even comprehend this kingdom of God unless we become as little children, which usually little children are having to obey their parents. One way or another, they're obeying. All right, Psalms 106, 11 through 15. And we're talking about the children of Israel here, and they're coming through the Red Sea, all the different things that happened to them. It says, and the water covered their enemies. You remember how they went through on dry ground and then the enemies were covered with water. And there was not one of them left. That, remember Moses said, you will not see these Egyptians anymore forever. And they never ever did fight against Egyptians again. That was over. And then it says, then they believed his words. They sang his praise. Oh, listen. They saw what happened. He delivered them. They got out on the other side. Their enemies were destroyed. And oh, they sang his praises. But then the 13th verse says, they soon forgot his works. And they waited not for his counsel. Oh, they forgot his works. They said, oh no, we're going to do something. But it lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tempted God in the desert. And he gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. Yeah. They soon forgot his works, and they waited not for his counsel. Moses is up on the mountain for a long time, and they start getting worried. They've seen the lightning and the thunders, and they see all these things. Surely he's dead. Surely something has happened to him, and he hasn't come back for so many days. And, you know, so they began to go. They didn't want to wait for his counsel. They didn't want to wait for Moses to come back. They couldn't wait. So they said, Aaron, make us a calf. We need to worship. We need to worship. You know, we got to worship something. We were taught, you know, to always worship something. And you know, Moses is on the mountain and we don't know where God is and he's not telling us. And so, Aaron, make us a calf. And they made a calf and they were all dancing and doing all the pagan things that were there back in Egypt to this golden calf. And Moses came down the mountain. Do you know that many times about the time you give up is when the Lord is right there ready to come? Right then. You wait just a few more minutes. You wait just a few more hours. You wait just a few more days. And the victory is going to come. But right at the threshold. And we give up. It says, they soon forgot his works. They forgot all that he had done in covering their enemy. Forgot all of it. They didn't wait to hear from him. They decided to take it in their own hands. We're going to make a calf. We're going to worship. We're going to get a hold of God some kind of way. They lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tempted God in the desert. In other words, they went a-lusting after another God. Somebody that will hear us. Somebody that will help us because Moses has been gone too long. And he gave them their request. But sent leanness into their souls. Do you know, our souls need a lot of instruction. Our souls need a lot of understanding and counsel. And we get that from the Word of God. We get that in prayer. We get that sometimes from other elders or people that are responsible for the Word or in counseling. We get it when we speak to somebody. We're just emptying out ourselves and talking to somebody about problems. Most people are going to offer you some advice. Some of it may be good and some of it may be bad, but they're going to offer it. But we can ignore all those things And we can get to the place to where we say, I'm going to figure it out for myself. I think this is the best course of action. I haven't heard anything from the Lord. Everybody's telling me to do this, you know, out here. So I'm not going to do that. I haven't heard anything from God. So I'm going to choose this. This looks like a safe path for me. And the Lord says, all right. If that's the path you want to take, I'll go with you. But you aren't going to like what happens going down that path. You aren't going to like what's on its way to come into you. You're not going to like what the end of this path is. You're not going to really enjoy what's about to come upon you. If you would wait and wait for me, in other words, don't move until you hear from me. Don't move forward till you know what I want you to do. Then I can spare you a lot of things. I can spare you everything. I can deliver you on every hand. But if you're going to take your own counsel, then he'll give you your request. He doesn't throw people away because they're scared or they've got something pressing on them and they feel like, oh, I've got to have an answer right now. I've got to move right now. I've got to move right now. I've sent Lord, the, you know, he doesn't cast us away because we make a bad judgment and say, well, I haven't heard from the Lord, so I'm going to go this way. He doesn't cast us away. He'll go with us. But what he wants you to know is you're setting your soul up for something. I would like to take you down a path that is an easier path, and I would like to deliver you on the other side in a better place. But if you choose your own path, I'm not going to stop you. You have free will.
Yes.
You can choose what you want. It doesn't mean that he won't go with you. He will go with you, but there are consequences to our decisions. To the path we take, there are consequences to it. He can't change the consequences. They are a law unto themselves. When we do right, we receive. When we do evil, we receive. When we take counsel, we receive something. When we don't take counsel, we receive something. These are laws, God's laws. So he gave them their request, but sent leanness into their souls. That doesn't mean he said, well, you disobeyed me, so I'm going to make sure that you don't have any strength in your soul. No, that's not it. We send the leanness to our souls. He just doesn't stop it. You know what I'm saying? He doesn't send it. We send it on ourselves. All of the scriptures bear out that we make these decisions. There are consequences. So the consequence to this request that they wanted was leanness. Leanness was going to come upon them.
That's right.
Everything that we decide, there's a consequence to it. Mm-hmm. So we and our souls are in our hands today, dear ones. We get to choose what's going to happen to it. There are things that we need to know about our soul, and there are things we need to have for our soul. The word, the spirit, we have to obey instruction. We have all these things that we have to do to protect our soul, to make it to where it reaches the other shore where it needs to be so that we can go on in to the eternal life with God. But it's in our hands. And so we make decisions every day. Some of them turn out and some of them don't. We make decisions every day, and later on we say, I wished I hadn't have done that.
Yes.
We make decisions every day. We need to always consider, is this the best thing for my soul, my spirit, my inner man? Is this going to make me closer to God, or is it going to take me away from God? What do I need here? Because our soul is continually in our hands. Nobody else's. Nobody answers for my soul but me. Nobody answers for your soul but you. God isn't going to ask me about your soul. The only thing he would ask me about your soul is if I didn't tell you the truth and you believed a lie because I didn't tell you the truth. Then he would say, all right, what about this? She didn't do this because you didn't tell her. That's the only way I'd be responsible for your soul. But as long as I'm telling the truth, preaching the word, telling all the things that are contained in the Word and warning you all the time about your soul's in your hands, what are you doing with it, then I'm free and clear and you're responsible for your own soul. It's going to mean something to meet God in peace. Amen.